the Gospel according to John. Jesus cried out and said, "Whoever believes in me believes not only in me, but also in the one who sent me. And whoever sees me sees the one who sent me. I came into the world as light, so that everyone who believes in me might not remain in darkness. And if anyone hears my word and does not observe them, I do not condemn him, for I did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. Whoever rejects me and does not accept my words has something to judge him. The word that I spoke, it will condemn him on the last day, because I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. So what I say as the Father told me." And so the Gospel of the Lord. This light and darkness of the Gospel, truth and error, call to mind one of my favorite stories from the writings of Catherine of Siena. It reflects my own joy as a child being gathered into the arms of my father or mother and being swept away, flying into the air by their joyful affection. Let's hear it again. I use the translation of Daniel Ledinsky in his Love Poems from God. He uses the title, Smells of Good Food. Truth never frightens. I remember once walking out in the winter to greet my father as he returned from work. He was a little late that night, and I waited by a street corner near our house. The cold could enliven thanks. My wool coat became a sacred robe. How happy I felt to be alive. I waited in a world of magic, smells of good food, the street lamps, smoke coming from chimneys, the candles burning in windows, the snow. Angels feasted as I did on existence, and God kept saying, "Have more of what I made." I saw him coming. We ran into each other's arms, and he lifted me, as he had so often had, twirled me through the air, his hands beneath my arms. That's what the truth says. Lifts and lets us fly. What a glorious moment. And it resonates to the very center of my heart and my memories as I think of such times in my childhood. And I'm always cheered when I see loving parents repeating this joyful sort of greeting and the pure delight that can be seen on the faces of parents and children alike. But we soon learn that it is a dangerous thing to fly, and not all the risks we take in life have such a delightful outcome. These days, I only come close to flying when I go down the hill on my bicycle. But when I visited Siena, I was fascinated by the town square, pictures of the horses racing through the cobblestone narrow alleyways into the square with flags flying. Then the striking cathedral with its charcoal and light gray striped stone, and the large Dominican church set on a hillside. We walked down the stairs below the end of the church to what was said to be the house of Catherine and the cloth dyeing area used by her father. It was all too quick, and I would want to spend more time and get a feeling for the history and correct my first impressions. Catherine has been most important to me in my life as a Dominican. She adds poetic excitement and practicality that is often missing in the friars I've known. When I began life as a Dominican, it was all St. Dominic and St. Thomas Aquinas, and our ideals were set by their achievements. But what a delight it is to discover Catherine and experience a Dominican who is also practical, who could scold a pope, delight in food, engage in the poetry of the soul, and yes, fly. We need that sort of liveliness in the church today. As I looked through some of Catherine's writings, I was surprised to learn that she probably didn't have a great facility in writing and dictated much of her work, but maybe toward the end of her life gained that ability. They say, this says a lot about someone who is a doctor for the church. I find humor, romance, sublime expressions of praise, a playfulness that identify a real greatness of soul. When working on a sermon, I try to draw some inspiration from the scriptures. But with Catherine, it just may happen that some of her statements have about them the ring of scripture already. She's digested and put it into practice. Now, Catherine gives the example of one who sets caution aside and delights in the richest expressions of life, both humble and sublime, practical and mystical, in the very best expression of a life that is lived to the fullest. This brings me to my favorite saying of Catherine, an invitation and a challenge, surprising in its simplicity, delightful in its ability to lift us into the most wonderful expressions of praise. It goes like this. Catherine has God speaking to us about the quality of his love for us. In listening to his voice, we begin to discover what happens when the mystery of his love invades our very own person. So we listen to her. I want you to love me in the same way as I have loved you, but you can't do that. You love me because you ought to, because I have loved you first. So you can't really repay me. But I have placed you in the midst of your brothers and sisters so that you could do for them what you could never do for me, so that you can love them freely without any compulsion or guilt or reward. And what you do to them, I count as done to me. The gospel today suggests that Jesus is the unique revelation of God. And this narrative gathers its energy from the Father living within the Son. The life and writings of our sister Catherine plunges us into this mysterious flow of life that lies at the heart of existence itself. With our delightful sister Catherine, we're drawn to the full expression of God's life in the world, the highest sort of union and mysticism, but in simple expressions that never separate us from the ordinary experiences of love and friendship of our brothers and sisters who are companions on this most remarkable journey. What a delight it is to observe this day of joy and praise.